The stories I've heard is nobody was going to shop there because it was so far north of Charleston. No one's going to go there. Why are you building the shopping center? It's going to be a waste of money, blah, blah, blah. Now.
Hey everyone, you're listening to the Lively Charleston podcast. Our goal with this show is to interact and tell the stories of the amazing people, places, and businesses that make Charleston the best city in the world.
If you haven't already, make sure to subscribe to iTunes, Spotify, and YouTube.
And check us out on Instagram and Facebook where we post content regularly throughout the week. All right, y'all, we have a very special guest today. I'm very excited for this episode of the Lively Charleston podcast. We have a gal with us we're going to have a conversation with. Who, if you live particularly in South Mount Pleasant, or if you live in North Mount Pleasant, or quite honestly anywhere in Charleston, there is a good chance that she has had at least an indirect impact on your life in some way. And we're going to talk about that. But first of all, let's welcome Miss Kathy Herman to the podcast.
Hello.
Thanks so much for hanging out with us.
I'm so excited to be here.
All right. So we're going to talk about, so you are the marketing director for Mount Pleasant Town Center.
I am.
Right over in South Mount Pleasant. Let's see. For those that don't know, it's directly across from the Starbucks. It's right next to the Lowe's Shopping Center and the Cane's Chicken with the line all the way out to 17.
That's the one.
Right there in the middle of everything.
Right. And mostly people know us by the IOP connector. We always say we're right before the IOP
connector.
Just south
of the connector. Exactly. Okay. So we're going to get into all that. I have a lot of questions. All right. Great. I've spent... a significant amount of my personal funds in your shopping center.
That's what I like to hear.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm doing my part. And so we have some questions. We're going to talk about some things there. But first, let's get to know you a little bit and just kind of how you came to be who you are in managing this this shopping center that's really a staple in our community.
I love Town Center. My entire career, I've been doing marketing for shopping centers.
So let's talk about that.
From 1992, I just gave my age away, but my first job out of college was for a shopping center in Midtown Manhattan.
What was that like being, because I imagine, first of all, this is before Amazon, so shopping was like, that was the only way to do shopping. And also, you're in Manhattan. I mean, That's a bustling city.
It was an eye-opener.
Yeah.
I was a big shopper. You don't realize what goes on behind the scenes of your favorite shopping center.
I bet.
And I learned very quickly in Midtown Manhattan. It was a 9-level shopping center.
Like, was it a mall, essentially?
It was a mall. It was called A&S Plaza at the time.
Okay.
And I didn't realize what kind of career this was going to give me. And I've been doing it ever since.
Ever since 92.
Apparently, I fell in love with it.
Yeah. Apparently. Well, you know, they say pursue your passion. And if you love shopping, then what better career?
But now I don't shop. No, I'm kidding.
Right, yeah, now that you know.
I go to other shopping centers. Yeah. Again, just kidding.
Yeah, I feel like my mom, my fiance, my daughter, they could all pursue this career because they love shopping too. So, but I imagine there's probably a lot more skills that go into it. So we'll get into that. But before we do, so you've been in Charleston 7 years.
Yes.
And what brought you out here?
The owner, we used to work for a company called Bear Properties. They used to manage Mount Pleasant Town Center. And they found me in New York. And at the time... My husband and I were contemplating moving south. I'm a total New Yorker, so it was only in the back of my head. It was in the front of his. And
okay.
We got an offer, and I said, what are we going to do? He goes, I think we should just go. Let's just go. The kids are grown. Our parents are no longer with us, so there was really nothing keeping us there except my love for New York.
Yeah, yeah.
And we just said, let's do it.
And the offer was this offer to?
This was, really? I moved down here for this job, yes.
Okay. So before that, before you grew up a little bit, one thing that I thought was really interesting about you was that you had a variety of things that you wanted to be when you grew up. The list includes veterinarian, band groupie, professional band groupie, yes. Head of a record label,
yes.
And FBI agent. Mm-hmm. Now, that's quite a diverse skill set there that you have at one point or another decided that you wanted to devote your time to.
Well, if anyone's young listening to this, which I'm sure they are, there used to be things called record companies.
long time ago.
Yeah. When I graduated college, in my yearbook, it actually says, World, watch out, I will be the head of RCA.
I remember that. I remember RCA.
And that was a long time ago.
Yeah.
But I had a major in marketing and a minor in music management.
Okay.
I love music. I love concerts. I love going to, I used to love going to clubs, anything that had music in it. Yeah. I said, well, I'm going to use this and I'm going to become this huge record producer and, or like guide to the stars or whatever it was at the time. That didn't work because I got a job in a shopping center and that just took
over. And it just took, kind of derailed your plans a little bit.
After college, my dad is the one who said to me, I really think you should join the FBI. And I said, and I go, you really want me to carry a gun for a living? And he's like, I just think, he goes, you're smart and you have a college degree and you're a woman and you can go really far. And I contemplated it for about probably about 3 or 4 months before I got my first real job. I looked into it and I was like, nah, I don't think so. I did try to get my niece to be an FBI agent, but she wouldn't do it either.
Really?
Yeah.
It's is she a shopper as well?
She's not. She's a chemistry high school teacher.
Oh, all right. Very nice.
Yeah.
Very nice. A lot of smart people here in the family.
Yes.
Okay. So I thought that was really interesting. And you know, you landed on none of the above as far as what was on the original list, but I guess that's part of life, right?
It is.
Grow up,
twists
try
and
things.
Turns.
Yeah, absolutely.
I also didn't expect to spend my entire career doing what I was doing. Right. You know, I mean, I was 22 years old. I got my first job, my first real paycheck. I was commuting into Manhattan. I was one of those girls with my briefcase and my sneakers on the train. And I said, oh, this is going to be good for a little while. And then I just realized, A, first of all, how much I loved it. And then secondly, I worked for a company called Simon Property Group at the time. And they're one of the largest real estate developers in the country. I didn't realize how much potential I had to continue to move up and up and up. So I stayed with them for over 20-something years before I moved here.
Right. So you realize what the opportunities were to grow your skill sets and your responsibility and, you know, probably your income. And it just kind of led you down that path.
Absolutely.
You're also the first real-life person I've ever met from Scranton, Pennsylvania.
I was born in Scranton, Pennsylvania. I did not grow up in
Scranton, okay, born there.
Yes.
And so, you know, we have to talk about The Office, naturally. Are you a fan? You're not a fan of The Office?
I don't think I've ever seen one episode.
No way. Did you know it takes place in Scranton?
I do, yeah.
So you've heard that a million times.
I was a month old when I moved, when I went to
Long
Island.
Got it, okay. So you don't really associate.
But that's what my birth certificate says. I have to say I was born in Scranton, Pennsylvania.
All right, fair enough. You have to, okay. If nothing comes from this podcast other than you watching an episode of The Office, that'll be a win.
Is there one specific one I should watch?
Watch the first one.
First one?
You'll know in, how long is an episode? 24 minutes? You'll know in 24 minutes if you love it or not. And if you love it, you got 10 seasons of binge watching.
Fantastic.
To catch up on.
That'll be good for the storm.
Exactly. Yeah, I know. We got a storm coming up. Exactly. And so you mentioned one of your most impactful jobs previously was working at A&S Plaza in Midtown. What were some of your biggest takeaways in there? I'm sure you probably started reasonably entry level and, you know, kind of learned from there. But what were some of your biggest takeaways from that experience?
I started, there was a marketing director, an assistant marketing director, a marketing admin, and then me. So I think my title was retail tenant coordinator or some nice title to make me feel more important than I was.
It sounds pretty important.
I did everything. I considered myself the gopher.
Yeah.
But to me, that's always how you learn everything. I had to do a lot of things around the shopping center. I learned all about operations, housekeeping, construction, everything, just because I was always out there talking to all the stores and walking the shopping center all the time. I think one of the best things we did was, it's sad because A&S actually closed. That was a department store like a Belk. They closed. Now you have a shopping center named A&S Plaza that doesn't have an A&S anymore.
Oh, right.
So we went through a year-long campaign to rename the shopping center. And so if you look at it now, it's Manhattan Mall.
Gotcha. Okay.
But that was some experience from the beginning to the end of trying to rebrand an existing something that everyone loved and everyone knew. And they've changed it around a lot. It's still there, I believe. It used to be 9 levels high. Now I think it's only 3.
Oh, wow.
They converted the top into offices.
Okay.
But that was an amazing experience for someone just getting out in the business. I learned so much in that. I was there 4 years, and I learned everything I possibly could.
And is that where you mentioned one of the people that most influenced you was one of your first bosses, Ethel. Is that where Ethel worked?
Yes. Ethel was the marketing director.
Okay.
She was an amazing woman. She was the type of woman either you loved or you hated.
Yeah.
And she either loved or hated you. And I think I did such a good job for her that we've always gotten along, and she treated me with respect, and she taught me everything. And when I left for a little bit, because I'd gotten married and I didn't want to commute to the city anymore, she found me, because Simon had opened a new shopping center on Long Island where I lived, and she found me and asked me to come back. So it's because of her that it was really, I blame this whole 20-something year career.
Yeah, it's all her fault.
It's all her fault.
That's really cool, though, too. I bet that feels good to move on and for them to come back, you know, for her to come back and find you and say, hey, we miss you. Come back, work for us.
She said it's the perfect job for you. I mean, she understood. I was, you know, I was in my late 20s and I was getting married, and I didn't want to waste hours a day on the train for the commute.
Yeah.
And she found the job was 10 minutes from where my husband and I were living. So it was a perfect transition. Yeah.
Amazing. Yeah. Amazing. Okay. So fast forward to present day, you are the marketing director for Mount Pleasant Town Center. Tell us a little bit about the town center, maybe some things that people might not know, and just kind of how long you've been there and what you've been up to.
My favorite story about town center, we're celebrating 25 years in April of 24. So keep an eye out for some birthday party celebrations.
Okay, okay.
When the shopping center was built, there was nothing there. They filled in some reservoirs. They built everything on top of this farmland. And the stories I've heard is nobody was going to shop there, because it was so far north of Charleston. No one's going to go there. Why are you building the shopping center? It's going to be a waste of money, blah, blah, blah. And look at it now. It's actually almost not even the center anymore, how far north Mount Pleasant's grown and everything going on. And I love to hear the stories of people who watched it being built.
Yeah.
A young lady I work with, Jewel Davey, she's the assistant general manager. She was in town when they were building the shopping center. And she's been with the property now 16 or 17 years. And she tells me stories, and we have pictures of just nothing there and how it has just expanded into what I feel the community hub of Mount Pleasant.
It really is. And anything you need, you can go there and you can find it.
We're always trying to make it better.
Yeah.
I think if people don't know, one of the biggest questions I've had the last 5 years is what's going in Atlanta Bread? Because they up and left a couple
of
years ago.
I have that question, yes.
And so many people said, I can't believe it's still vacant. And I tried to explain to them that there's a process to this. And there could be someone who wanted it that we might not have wanted in there. It's a magnificent space. It's right by our events. It's got patio. It's got parking. We're not going to just put anything in there.
Sure.
So Condado Tacos is currently under construction. They should be open by the end of the year. I know they have a location in Greenville. This will be their second one in South Carolina. They're known for their margaritas and their made-to-order tacos. So I'm really excited about it. I love Mexican food.
We need a great margarita taco shop in there.
I love Mexican food. So I'm really excited about them opening. And I think it's a great addition to the shopping center.
Well, and to your point, you know, there's a, like you said, you can't just take the first person who's willing to pay the monthly rent, because you almost have a recipe in the shopping center of the different types of, you have restaurants, you have dining, you have sit-down dining, you have takeout dining, you have shopping, department stores, you know, probably, and then within shopping, you have all the different categories of shopping, right? And so you probably have some sort of I would imagine a recipe that you're trying to maintain.
Absolutely. And, you know, certain spaces, of course, are easier to lease than others.
Sure.
But even in that respect, we try to make sure it's going to be a wanted addition. It's going to fit into the tenant mix well.
Yeah,
we don't just want to give space away. And I think it's pretty awesome that we're in a spot that we can do that.
Yeah.
The ownership group, Continental Realty Corporation, they love working with us locally to make sure that we have the right fit and to just continue to enhance the center. It just keeps getting better and better.
It really does. I'll tell you a funny story. So when I first moved to Charleston, my business partner and I, we opened two businesses at one time, which is, you learn, but that's a terrible idea when you're opening your first business. But we opened a kids martial arts school and a gym, and it was right over off Long Point Road by the Waffle House. And we had no idea what we were doing, so we did everything ourselves, and we were doing all the painting and the decorating and getting ready and prepping. And it was 11 years ago in October. And for an entire month, for 30 days straight, we were in there for 14-hour days, and every single day at lunchtime, we would head over to Town Center. We would go to Qdoba, which used to be there. I forget what's there now.
Oh, Malika.
Malika. Okay. So we would go to Qdoba, which a lot of people here, they don't know how awesome Qdoba is. This is like a Chipotle in a Moe's town, but where I'm from, we had a lot of Qdoba. So we'd go to Qdoba and then we'd walk across the street to TCBY. And that was our thing every single day. Just our little break. And then we'd go grab a Starbucks at Barnes & Noble and then get back to work.
See, that sounds like a perfect little break.
It was amazing.
Everybody needs to do that.
Yeah.
They can't go to Qdoba anymore, though.
Yeah, Qdoba's not there, but we got this other amazing taco place coming in.
I love Condado. But have you been to Malika, the Pakistani restaurant?
I actually have not. It's on my list. I've walked by it a few times. I haven't popped in.
It is some of the most delicious food you will ever try in this town.
Really?
Yeah.
All right. Do you have a great relationship with all of the tenants? Do you pop in and out all the time and go eat?
95%.
Really? That's great, though. Yeah. That's great. And they all know you when you walk in, I'm sure, or at least the managers do.
I'm surprised. The turnover of managers at Town Center is not as high as you would think.
Okay.
There are managers that have been here since the beginning.
Oh, wow.
And you get to know them and you work with them. And when my job is to make them better, right? My job is to get people into their stores.
Yeah.
So we work together. We have lots of conversations. We do events specifically for certain tenants. For instance, we're doing next Wednesday, we kick off our Sweat Under the Oaks, our fitness series with Athleta.
Okay.
And so we've partnered with them.
What's that going to be all about?
It's every Wednesday in September and October at 6 o'clock. It's a free fitness class outside in our park. We do it every spring and every fall.
Okay.
And it's just a great way to give back to the community. We had 55 people at the last event in May. Beyond, I don't even know how I fit 55
people. That's a huge number of people.
It was fantastic.
To be out there, that's amazing. Yeah. And then and they're moving and they're being healthy and active. And
so that's a perfect example of promoting Athleta.
Yes.
And then not to forget our friends at Lululemon, another wonderful tenant of ours. They do a fitness class every Tuesday in October. I get confused because there's so much going on in the fall.
Yeah.
But
you guys have a lot of things coming up too, right? Oh,
sure. And a kids club. I started a kids club. I'm not sure why, but I did. And we have an event the first Tuesday of every month from 10 to 12. It's free. And I won't even tell you how many kids came to the August event. But our September event is September 5th. And but that's a focus towards all of our kids vendors. We have two incredible children's retailers, both local. One's Little Palmetto Pearl and one is Tweedle Beetle. If you need to dress your children for anything, you need to go to one of those stores. Again, great. They participate. They help. Yeah. You know, they want the attention. They love being a part of the events that we do. And like I said, did I really need a kids club? Probably not. But it has increased traffic on the slowest day of the week.
Yeah. Good. That's why you're the marketing director.
Exactly.
That's why they pay you to do this. Ideas like this. Well, and that's really cool too for the tenants because, you know, those are, as a small business owner, those, the momentum energy that it requires to start those types of things and to drive traffic to them and market them just to, you know, you're not even charging. It's just for the exposure and the opportunity to meet people.
Exactly.
It takes a lot of energy. It's a lot of work, as you know, and there's a lot of value in you doing that for them.
I agree. I hope they do too.
Yeah. Yeah. No, send them to me if that's ever in question. I know how important that is. So I think that's great work that you're doing.
One of the things when we talk to people coming to see spaces and they'll be like, oh, I don't know if I really like this space. You know, I'm looking at one down the street, even though we don't do the leasing, but we meet with them a lot to show them spaces. I always say, remember, you're a town center. I just want you to realize what comes with that.
Yeah.
Coming to town center. We don't just leave you alone to build your own business. That's what we are here for. We help you. And I think that's a huge added value for anyone who wants to open a business.
And how many stores are currently in Town Center?
The last time I counted, it was like 72. I want to say 71 or 72.
Okay.
We have four vacant spaces, not including Bed Bath & Beyond, but I don't want to talk about that.
Okay.
That was just nationwide. They just up and left all their stores.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
That's a whole other topic for conversation. But the small shops, but we have leases out for three of the four. So we're working on having 100% lease within the next year or so. And I think that's a fabulous place to be.
That's you couldn't ask much better than that. And Town Center is technically everything north of the roundabout, right?
It is everything from Belkman's.
Yep.
And our house, and of course Ballard Designs, the only one in South Carolina. From there all the way through to Men's Warehouse.
Yes. Okay.
So
got it.
Before that little strip of stores where the old Bilo used
That's
to
right.
be.
That's right. Yep. Okay.
Continental does own Sweetgrass Corner, though, where Bilo is. And hopefully have some exciting news about that soon. I can't say. Everybody knows, but I can't say. So.
Hey, fair enough. Fair enough. Google it if you want to know, right?
All you have to do is talk to anybody, and they'll say they know what's going in there. So.
And they know. All right. Yeah. Fair enough. Amazing. One of the things I thought was really cool about in learning more about you is you do a lot of charity work, and you tie your efforts back to helping other community programs.
I do.
Tell us a little about that. What are some of your favorite charities, and what do you have going on?
I don't think I could pick a favorite. I love animals, so we'll start there. And the Charleston Animal Society, to me, does incredible, incredible work. And they, not only that, but they're a wonderful partner. And so we have done, now we do Pup Bowl in February, which is the Saturday before the Super Bowl. Last year, we had 26 puppies adopted.
That's awesome.
I cry when I think
about
it.
That's awesome.
We do an event called Paws on the Patio. We do them six times a year. It's a cocktail party out at Burton's Grill out on the patio to raise money for Charleston Animal Society. So you buy a ticket, grab your dog, and come and have some drinks with us.
That's cool.
And we do Fall Festival, which is coming up October 28th. It's our second biggest event of the year. And we do our annual pet costume contest.
Nice.
To raise money for them.
I got to get my guy in there for the contest.
It is so much fun.
Okay.
They're just a wonderful organization. Another one of my partners is Camp Rise Above. Kids and dogs. That's what everyone keeps telling me, kids and dogs. They are our benefactor for Lights Up, which is our tree lighting.
Oh, yeah, okay.
And they are, again, just the services they provide to families and these children that would never have been able to go to camp. And they take care of everything for you. And working with them is a blessing to me. And they sell all these bright, blinky items at Lights Up, so all the kids are all blinky and lighty and making all this noise when we light the tree.
That's fun.
So they're
That's all, fun.
They're
I bet
great.
They love it.
Yeah. And another one of my favorite events of the year is called Pink Promenade. It's catwalk and cocktails. It is our annual breast cancer fundraiser. We raise funds for the Roper St. Francis Foundation, and all the money is donated or used to support women with breast cancer in the Charleston area.
Oh, wow.
This is our fifth annual. It is an afternoon filled with fashion shows with cancer survivors. We have brunch with Burton's. We have champagne and wine and live music. And it's just, it makes me feel like I'm doing what I'm supposed to do.
Yeah.
Right? That
yeah.
I can put these things together and I can affect so many different people in so many different ways. And that's kind of why I get up and go to work every morning.
I think that's great. And I can see in just you telling that story how passionate you are about this.
I am.
And you're supporting the business. You know, you're in a unique situation where you have the ability to create a win-win-win for everybody involved just by, you know, putting your energy into creating these functions.
Absolutely.
And these events. It's really neat.
We've also started working with Just Be. Her name is Layla Lula, an amazing organization. And we now have two events a year called Lights and Love. We do one in the spring and one in the holiday season. This year's will be December 3rd. It's for families with children on the spectrum. And we create a special event for them to feel welcome.
Cool.
And it has been an amazing opportunity for me to get to know these kids. And one thing I'll never forget is when one mother came up to me last holiday and said to me, "Do you know... My child's 12 and he's never met Santa."
Oh, wow.
Because he would not be comfortable going to see Santa in a public place. So we had this special event for them and Santa came to them.
Oh, that's cool.
So
that's cool.
Again, another thing I am extremely, extremely proud of.
Yeah. Yeah. And definitely having, you know, an impact on that kid and probably, you know, all the other kids too.
See, kids and dogs.
Yeah,
kids and dogs.
Absolutely. Your soft spot. Amazing. Let's do, if it's okay with you, I'd like to do a couple of rapid fire questions here for you. Okay. What is the job or career that you would say is most like yours, but not yours?
I don't want to go sales. That's too easy because that's what I do. It's marketing and sales are, I don't go out and actually sell, you know, this microphone.
Right.
But I'm selling the shopping center.
100%.
And I'm selling programs. I'm selling exhibit space at my events and things like that.
Oh, yeah. That's sales all the way. But you do so much more than that, too.
I do. I don't know. Maybe an event planner, like a wedding planner.
Okay.
I couldn't do it. I don't have the patience for things like that. But I do plan pretty big events. So I could see what I do and what they do very similar, making sure that everything is perfect for that 5 hours or whatever, how long that wedding is. I need to make sure everything's perfect for that 3 hour event that I'm having.
Absolutely. It's funny. When I wrote this question down, that was the one that came to mind too.
Oh, really?
Just, from getting to know you. Okay. All right. If you could have any store in the entire world as a tenant in Town Center, what store? Of course, who you have, right? But in addition to that, if there's a dream store that you would want to have as a tenant, who would that be?
Apple.
Oh.
Apple, okay. Apple. Yes.
Is that a possibility?
You know, you never know. They are, you know, they're happy downtown, and they do, of course, an amazing business downtown. So I'm not sure they feel that need to move to Mount Pleasant or add a store to Mount Pleasant, I should say. I don't think they'd ever close downtown, but I think they would. And I think that's probably the most asked for or sought out store at Town Center.
That would be awesome. Yeah. It feels like it would be a perfect fit.
Yes.
It makes sense there.
Yes. We work on it every minute of every day. No, I'm just kidding.
You got to tell them no. There must be some data about how much us Mount Pleasant people hate to drive over bridges.
Well, it's actually worked because there's a few stores that have had downtown on King Street. And we've gone to them and said, listen, you know, it's not the same shopper as Mount 100%, Pleasant.
It's not.
And we've had we did geofencing, we had all the data, and we were actually
nicely done.
Able to get a few stores that were open downtown to come to Town Center.
Nicely
and
done.
It did not affect their business downtown whatsoever.
I bet. Yeah, they just get us, you know, more often because we don't have to trek it all the way
exactly.
over there, right?
I don't like to pay to park. That's my thing.
Right.
So we're always going to be free parking. And I think it just makes sense for people who live in this town, or even like you said before, even West Ashley, North Charleston, James Jolland, John's, they all come because it's free to park.
Yep.
Why not?
Yep, 100%. And it's like a nice little family trip if you don't live in the immediate area. Right. You head on over for a while, for a half a day.
Exactly.
You know, shop around, spend the day, eat lunch, do the whole thing.
It's perfect.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, last couple of questions before we get into that. Kathy, if somebody wants to learn more about you or the Town Center, where should they go?
I guess they could follow us on social.
Okay.
Our shop MPTC, Facebook and Instagram. I'm also very excited that I will be the president of the Mount Pleasant Chamber of Commerce for 2024. I'm awesome. Honored. I love this organization. So if you are a business in this town and you are not a member, you are severely missing out on some amazing connections. I have worked with chambers my entire career and never experienced something like this before. The offerings, there's four meetings, four events a month for you to meet people. And it feels like just a huge family to me.
Yeah.
So that's one of the things I'm very honored to take under my wing next year. I'm president-elect this year, and I'm always at everything. So if you want to come talk to me or come meet me, come to a chamber event because I'm always there.
There we go. Okay, so you heard it, ladies and gentlemen. You know where to find her. You'd be at the and when does this start? When do you take over as president?
January 1st.
January 1st. Perfect. Okay. All right. Last couple of questions here before we let you go. If you could go back in time to when you first got into this career, this industry, and give young Kathy some advice, what would you say to her?
One of the things I've always felt is that if you don't love what you're marketing, then you're not going to succeed. And I guess I'm blessed that I've always liked shopping. I think the only thing, maybe I would have told me the possibility of looking into other realms of shopping center management. Again, I love what I do. I'm not saying anything against it. But I always had a little thing in the back of my head saying, maybe I could be a really good mall manager. Maybe I could be a really good leasing agent. Anything, operations director even for that. And so, you know, knowing all those different aspects. Now, the funny part was my husband was an operations director for a shopping center. So I got to learn a lot about that, too. But I think that I might have checked out the other things. I think I would have ended up back where I was. Because I loved it so much. But I think when you have an opportunity that a company can give you all different opportunities within the same company, you should look into them a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely.
Someone I remember being approached, would you like to, you think about signing up for the assistant mall manager training program? I'm like, no, I'm happy. You know, so I look back, I probably should have at least taken it or looked at it a little.
Look at it, yeah.
So I just think keeping your mind open and your eyes open, you might love what you do, but there could be something out there you love even more.
Absolutely, absolutely. To your point, you know, it's interesting. I heard, I think it was a video or a podcast or something I was watching not too long ago, and they were talking about how there have been data and studies showing in across a lot of sales organizations, all different types of organizations, there tends to be a big drop off in production around like the 4 to 6 month mark, right? So you have either the people that just they ramp up and they're great at sales and then they just continue on and on that path, or you have this drop off where around the 4 to 6 month mark, they just tailor off. They're not getting the same results. And upon further inquiry, they found out the biggest reason was because they lost the enthusiasm for what they were selling, right? And maybe whether that's because they didn't actually believe in it, because maybe it actually wasn't a good product, or they just weren't as excited about it as they once were, or were seeing the clients get the results. And once they lost that enthusiasm, that passion for it, that conveys, and whoever the buyer is, they can tell that you're not excited about what you're selling.
I mean, if something as simple as, you know, I always joke and I say, I don't like mayonnaise. Don't ever put mayonnaise near me.
Me neither.
So how could I possibly be successful if I had to go sell mayonnaise?
Exactly.
You can't. That you can tell, like you said, right away from, you can have the best sales pitch ever written, but if you don't feel it, you are not selling that mayonnaise.
Yeah, 100%. Your conviction, it's not going to come through.
No.
I'm with you. I could never sell mayonnaise. Yeah, put me on the spicy mustard train. I'll be top salesman of the year. Awesome. Ms. Kathy, it has been a pleasure. Thank you so much for coming to hang out with us and telling us a little bit more about yourself and the Town Center, how we came to be where we are, and what we have planned here for the future.
Yeah, we have so many things. Just check us out. Events starting September, October, November, of course, Christmas in December. And keep an eye out for that 25th birthday celebration.
25th birthday.
Next April. Able to come celebrate with us.
All right, folks, you heard it here first. We'll see you all out there. Kathy, thanks so much.
Thank you so much.
Hey, y'all, that's a wrap on today's episode. Thanks so much for watching. We hope you enjoyed it. Make sure to like or follow or subscribe, whatever platform you're on, just hit the button to make sure you don't miss any future episodes.
Yep, and please help us grow the channel by sharing it with someone else who might enjoy it as well. Thank you so much for watching, and we'll see you next time.